Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
I believe in music. I believe that even in this technologic age, where once again they're questioning the future of what music's role is in people's lives, it's a vital part.
Everybody, happy Friday. This is Patrick Foster, and thank you for tuning in for another episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to another episode. Not sure what number this one is, but we're getting up there, folks. We're steaming toward that big 2000. Take a quick minute here before we jump into today's topic to remind you again that if you are participating in November 2022 new music, this is the last reminder for the year for new music. We're going to need your picks in by this Saturday, December 3rd, if you could. And also, while you're at it, start making your list for Best of 2022, because that's what we'll focus on in January instead of new music. And we also have a holiday song poll, our second one, that we're going to find the 10 next songs. We did 10 last year, and we're going to have a recording on December 11th where everybody's going to get together on a Zoom call and we can discuss the picks, drink a few glasses of eggnog, and have a good time. But right now, with that business out of the way, we're going to have a real quick visit today into Patrick's Book Nook. To the Book Nook. Look, we have books. And over there, another book. And right over there, it's a Kindle? I want to thank the lovely and talented Michael Wagner for putting together some of the music for that, collaborating with me on it, and we had a fun time making that theme song. So thank you as always, Mr. Wagner, sir. Today we're going to talk about a book that's been on my list for a while. My pile is big, and it's been taking me a while to get through these. But the book is called Looking for the Magic, New York City, the 1970s, and the Rise of Arista Records, written by Mitchell Cohen. And I want to thank, right off the top, Craig Rosen out there in California for getting me a copy of this book. And I really appreciate it. It got to me over the summer. And it has taken me, like I said, a while to get through it, but I really, really enjoyed this book. This is really, really fun. Just like the title says, it's a really cool exploration of Arista, the 70s, and very much New York City, reflecting the differing kinds of music that were happening there, from jazz to disco to straight up rock and roll to power pop to punk, and kind of everything in between. And Arista was founded by Clive Davis, after he left Columbia in somewhat controversial circumstances, shall we say, and was run as an independent label until the mid-80s, when it was purchased by a larger corporation and began to lose some of its original independent identity. But that period is what you're going to get here. You're not going to get the whole later on period of Arista. Mitchell Cohen, in his introduction to the book, says this, and I quote for you: "Looking for the Magic is about Arista, the independent record label, and about Bell Records, its immediate predecessor. So the narrative ends with its conclusion of the indie era in the mid-80s, when it began being distributed by RCA. This isn't intended to be a comprehensive account of everything that happened at Arista Records. Some artists who did pretty well aren't mentioned at all, others just in passing. It would be foolish to try to discuss everyone who ever recorded or worked for Arista, let alone the vast number of characters and songs that made appearances in Arista's prehistory, or the Bell/Amy/Mala labels and all the labels that company distributed. So it's a really fun look. Mitchell Cohen was working at Arista during part of this period, and it's just a lot of fun to see behind the scenes how Clive Davis built the label, what the choices he made were. There's a few funny, juicy anecdotes in this book, but you'll also get some names, some stories, and probably some people you never heard of. Count myself among those. There were some people here I was like, what? I never even heard of them. Or they made a big push. Or, oh, I forgot completely about them. One being Dwight Twilley Band. And there's a story in this book that Clive and some of the staff were looking at either signing the Dwight Twilley Band or Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers from a label called Shelter, I think. And Clive Davis decided, after consulting with his people, to go for Twilley and his bandmate Phil Seymour. Doesn't look so good now, but at the time, you know, Twilley was a hot property. You'll read about Graham Parker and the Rumor. You'll read about the fabulous band The Bus Boys and how, you know, they came close, but the timing was just wrong for them. The Alan Parsons Project, which was a consistent seller for them. Of course, you've got Barry Manilow is part of this story. You've got Melissa Manchester. You've also got a really interesting, very interesting jazz section that they had. Avant-garde jazz roster. He had Pharoah Sanders over there. A whole bunch of other people were there as well. There was a band called the Alpha Band that featured T-Bone Burnett that was on Arista. There was Jewel Shear and the Funky Kings. There were all kinds of people that were on the label. And a group called the Pez Band. You'll also learn about Air Supply a little bit. Not a lot, but they're mentioned here and there. They definitely sold some records. And, you know, really, to me, the jazz part of this story is very, very interesting. Another band that was on Arista during this time was the Kinks. You can go back in the archives and find some Arista Years Kinks episodes that Scott Parks was leading the way on. They were really, really good. There's also a really humorous story that the Kinks had earned some gold records for Arista, and all the Arista staff, Clive Davis and all the brass, got the records together, and they were going to have a ceremony after the Kinks concert out at Nassau Coliseum, I believe, on Long Island. They all got in the limos and all drove out there, and during the concert, and the Kinks didn't want to do it beforehand. They wanted to make everybody stay for the whole show. So during the concert, there was an argument. They began to argue on stage. I think it was Ray and Dave, and maybe Mick Avery too. You know, he was hot tempered as well. And they, you know, were arguing on stage as the concert went off. And then afterwards, the Arista people had all the gold records lined up there ready to present to the Kinks. And all they hear in the dressing room is just things being thrown, shouting, things breaking, and all these, you know, it's a huge, huge row going on over there. And so the manager of the Kinks came out and said, "Could you just mail the gold records to us, please?" But that's an example of some of the stories you'll get. And there's interesting, you know, really, really interesting about how a record company worked in the 70s. And there's a great section on Patti Smith, how she came to Arista and how they handled her and all that stuff, and just a really interesting snapshot of things. Lou Reed was on the label during this time as well, and there's some good Lou content in there. So really, really fun. If you're looking for something that mixes kind of a 70s history with the way a label was put together and how savvy Clive Davis really was as a record man, you'll definitely find it in this book. Looking for the Magic. Very, very entertaining. So I want to thank Craig Rosen again for that. And I want to say tip of the hat to Mitchell Cohen. He's done a fantastic job with this book really captures, you know, the mixture of soul, disco, pop rock, jazz, and all the different kinds of things, even, you know, some salsa and Latin influenced music too that was happening. It was just a really incredible melting pot during that time, and pretty fascinating. Definitely check it out. I think it's a book that music fans will enjoy. I certainly enjoyed it, and it took me a while to get through it, but I'm so glad I did. Really, really good, and lots of really good graphics and pictures, advertisements that the company took out, pictures of the artists, and a lot of press material type stuff where they, you know, were taking out ads. There's even a letter that the press department wrote to like a music journalist with promo copies. So it's really, really fun. I think you'll enjoy it, and a really good read. And to just put a bow on the whole thing, we're going to go out today with the song Looking for the Magic, which was by the Dwight Twilley Band. And it was a small hit, I think. And, you know, certainly they were thinking that it's going to be the Dwight Twilley Band, you know, that's going to be headlining arenas across the USA. And there's a lot of stories in here just about how everything seemed to be in place. You know, the time was right, the place was right, the music was right, the production was right, but for whatever reason, never took off. So really, really interesting stuff there too. So thanks again, Craig, for Looking for the Magic. If you have any suggestions for the Book Nook, anything you want to suggest that I read or think I might enjoy, certainly get in touch. We are at Suburbs Pod on all the social medias. You can send an email to rock@suburbspod.com. And you can always call the Suburban Party Line, 612-440-1984. And always, you can stick your head out the window and yell. All right. Hope everybody has a great weekend. I am Patrick Foster on behalf of Jim Linehan. We will talk to you guys next week. Craig Rosen, out there in California.